Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could join us once again. And as we normally do at the top of the show, I just want to remind you that we're not selling or rendering legal advice, tax advice, or real estate investing advice. We will talk about such matters, but we're doing it more in an educational mode and trying to help you understand what you may be signing up for if you're looking to invest in real estate, private partnership, multifamily syndications, which is the space that we like personally, and it's also the space that most of our clients are invested in. And if you're not familiar with those, this would probably be a good station and show for you to tune into. I'm not the only one that talks about multifamily syndications. However, I'm the only one that's not selling them. So take that for what it's worth. But if you don't have existing advisors that can consult with you on these matters, feel free to go to our website at BAPlanner.com and go to the forms link you'll see at the top right and complete at least step one, form one, which is a client profile. And if you'll give us that information, then I'll be happy to have a phone call with you and we can discuss if or how we might be able to sync up with helping you achieve your goals and objectives. The real estate private partnership multifamily space has definitely come back to life. I mean, it's not without potential pitfalls, though, and that's why I've said it often, you know, this is not a DIY activity, although others that are selling partnership interest will make it sound like it is. But if you haven't kept up with the last two years worth of multifamily activity, there's a lot of additional inputs now with regard to debt structure, cap rates, et cetera, that actually are more than just numbers on a page. They actually mean something that can affect your investment. And I know in the past, all too often, we didn't dwell on the potential outcomes when things go sideways, as you might say. But in any event, if you otherwise have questions and you want to reach me, the best way to do so is to text me at 713-581-0195. And if it's a question that's relevant to the content today, I may discuss it on the air. Otherwise, I'll circle back to you during the week. But in any event, I wanted to mention a couple of articles that I was just looking at here before the show starts. And there's a lot of terms, or a lot of, I'm sorry, not terms, there's a lot of discussion right now about stabilization and synchronization between supply and demand. And you know, the multifamily market over the last two or three years has been out of sync when you look at supply and demand. And some markets, we've had as many as 20 to 25,000 new units come online. I think Houston would qualify in that category. San Antonio was close. And, of course, Phoenix had that many or more, the Phoenix area generally. And that caused a shift in, the imbalance, I guess, or the balance, if you will, between owner or landlord and tenant. And now, according to one of the articles I was just looking at, let me pull this up because it had several points that were of interest. Now, across the board, and we're talking nationally, so average, and don't forget what I say about averages, said it many times, none of us are average, we're all normal or actual. So depending on where you're at, which market or submarket you're planning on investing in, it doesn't have to be where you're at, I shouldn't have said that. As many of you know, I live halfway around the world in Thailand most of the time, and I invest in real estate private partnerships because a partnership in the true sense of the word does not require you necessarily to be the lead partner or the one that's got to get out of bed every morning to make sure things are getting done. And in the syndication world, that will likely be a different party than yourself. Now, in the small apartment space, which is another area that we like a lot, like it even more now than we used to, I have a small building in San Antonio market, 8 units, and then I'm also invested in a transaction or two that has more than 600 units, almost 700. So I understand both markets, not to mention we review and assess many transactions of all sizes. And so I would suggest to you that as you look at things, understand every transaction you ever look at, I don't care if it's the same syndicator you invested in, you know, 6 months ago or 6 years ago, every transaction is different. And if you don't understand the nuances of multifamily, I'm going to call it the math metrics in the pro forma information or in the debt structure or in the refinance arena, and certainly the sales arena, you may not understand what you're signing up for. And our hope is to expose you to concepts and math metrics that give you a clue as to whether you're, you know, walking off the edge of a cliff or whether you've got some sort of safety net in place to navigate through the lean times. I've heard others talk about multifamily real estate as if it never has any calamity. It's all good. It's all, every one of these transactions doubles in value in 5 years. You know, I've heard that from some of the platforms, the mentor platforms that, in fact, you'll hear right here on this station, certainly other stations around the country. And I'm just here to tell you, real estate has cycles. They're just not as frequent, it seems, in the ups and downs as maybe the yo-yo-like action of the stock market. But don't think when the interest rates change, whether good or bad, there's not an equivalent change in cap rates that dictate values in the multifamily apartment game. And we'll talk a little bit later here about how we make money with multifamily real estate assets versus single family. Both are viable, but they're very different in terms of how we eventually, if not right away, start getting cash flow out of those individual assets. But in any event, one thing I wanted to just mention on this this article. The title of the article, by the way, is Multifamily Maturities Are Bringing Surprising Risk. And this was put online just earlier today on Globe Street, which, as you know, if you listen to the show, is a site that we look at frequently for white paper material, for current real estate events, et cetera. It's a national publication, or online publication, I guess you might say, newsletter, but it has submarkets so we can drill down. And this is in the national pool of articles, or markets, I guess you might say. They track, you know, New York Metro, New Jersey, Chicago, Austin, San Diego. The Texas market falls under either the Dallas-Fort Worth or the Southwest section is where we see most of those articles. So either featured market or a region. But in any event, in multifamily real estate, as with all commercial real estate categories, there is a coming wave of maturity, meaning that there are a lot of loans that are due for refinance, or the borrower needs to sell to pay the debt off. And refinancing on most commercial real estate loans, and likely all multifamily loans, is not guaranteed. Even though you're paying a fee, typically a 1% refinance fee to accomplish that 1-year extension, and you may have up to 2 1-year extension possibilities, that's still subject to being underwritten by the lender. In other words, do they want to extend that loan? And so it's not a given, it's not a done deal just because your original borrowing included the prospect of 2 1-year extensions. So when you're looking at transactions and they say that their goal, as an example, when they're telling you or presenting you with an investment summary or a webinar that has an investment summary, and they say, well, our strategy is to either sell within X number of years, let's call it 3, because that's a common refinance trigger. Our hope is to sell it within 3 years or refinance it. Well, I would tell you that refinancing may be the hardest of those two, but, you know, at least on the surface. But what you have to remember is that for someone to buy it, typically that buyer is going to need to get a loan. And so you're right back in the radar, I guess you might say, or the bullseye of a lender, unless the buyer is using cash, which that's not all that common on a, you know, $40 or $50 million multifamily transaction. So, you know, all things relate ultimately to the availability of money at a certain interest rate, because that's effectively what's going to drive the ability of either your existing partnership to refinance, or a buyer walking up new to be able to qualify for a loan, or the property qualify. And that's really the issue. I mean, the problem is we've got negative leverage on quite a bit of commercial real estate, including multifamily, a lot of multifamily. Think of that as negative equity, essentially. In other words, the property won't appraise for a number that's high enough to get you up to the necessary value, be it a sales value or be it a refinance value. And so, you know, as you know, investors, all types of investors, regularly employ leverage. And when it's working, quote, correctly, end quote, a growing value of the property will outpace the ongoing cost of acquisition, operations, etc., from borrowing the money in the first place. So as long as the return on asset is higher than the borrowing cost, everything's hunky-dory. It's all great. It's fine. there's enough value coming in to pay the debt service with the remainder, to translate value to cash flow in this case. So there's enough cash flow coming in to pay the debt service with the remainder going to the owner. And the owner obviously uses it for operation cost and distributions back to partners, etc. And in any event, that's what has been lacking for at least the last year. I think you actually could go back longer than that, but let me see here. I think I have a stat. Well, let's say that if the value is not moving in the right direction, i.e. there's less value coming in, less cash flow, that causes two problems that are showing up, especially, well, in multiple sectors of real estate, but for sure in the multifamily sector. When net operating income cannot cover the debt payments, we've seen a lot of this lately, then there's a debt service coverage ratio of less than one. And no lender will make a loan when the DSCR, debt service coverage ratio, is that low. The property cannot pay its keep, so to speak. This becomes thornier when other costs, and this has been the case here in the Texas market, other costs like insurance, utilities, taxes, etc., keeps lowering or decreasing the amount of net operating income. I know on one of my properties, we saw literally a 50%, well, no, it was more than that. It was closer to 90% increase in our insurance premiums year over year for 24. So it's this is a problem now. You know, on a smaller property, it's still a problem. I'll tell you, it feels like it's a 400 unit property at times when you look at what it costs to keep it operating. However, you don't, when you've got your own small apartment building, and you may have been thinking, well, why does Nathan like small apartments? Well, the reason is you can typically handle the ongoing management either yourself, or if you literally don't want to be involved in managing, which a lot of my clients don't, then you pay a management fee, maybe as much as 5% or so, to a third-party manager that will undertake the heavy lifting, so to speak, for managing. So you eliminate the plethora of fees that get charged on a normal project. Let's go ahead and take our first break. I just realized I ran long, and then we'll come back and we'll pick up with the discussion of fees as we're looking at this concept of having to either sell or refinance in the current market. We'll return momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Grindstones and made up my life, but I shine like a diamond through sun. Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. Nathan at npross.com.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And before we go into fees on multifamily syndications, I wanted to invite Mr. A.I. Wynn, you know, the gentleman that tags teams with me on the Sunday Be A Planner Cyber Show, to come on for a few minutes and discuss our agenda for this upcoming Sunday show. That show airs, by the way, at 7 a.m. on Sunday, and totally different content than what we do on Friday. And I tell you, I learned something new, at least one thing every week, it seems like. And anyway, Wynn, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can. Thanks for calling in.
And my pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious what you've got planned for Sunday.
Well, you know, the two topics I want to talk about, the first one is, it's not the latest, but it's still happening right now, that if you're using Microsoft 365 and using a Microsoft Teams, there's a hacking going on right now. There's a big risk right now that the hacker will be able to penetrate and mimic your company user and accessing your team and communicate with your team. At the same time, they'll be able to inject code in the background to hack your system. It's already happening. I'm not going to tell you which company is happening, but I've seen it happening, and more often than you think. So
Hey, Wynn, let me interrupt you. You say more often than you think. I just happened to read an article yesterday where Microsoft was explaining that it's, you have any idea, you don't know the number of people they mentioned that article? I'm going to tell you, 600 million people a day using assorted Microsoft products, be it Office 365 or Teams, are, I don't know that I would say they're being hacked. Let's just say they're exposed. I think
compromised.
But the
one that are compromised, they're not going to tell you how many. Of course, Microsoft not going to tell you how many. But I'm going to mention some of the things that's important, that you, the thing that you can do to protect yourself. Okay, I'm going to list the item of points that you can use it to protect yourself. And
okay, well that sounds good. I know. Several of the products you've suggested I've actually deployed, and so I'm anxious to learn more. Well, listen, thanks for – oh, go ahead. You had something you wanted to add?
Yeah, but I also want to talk about AI, artificial intelligence, because it played a role, whether you like it or not, on everything that we do now, including cybersecurity. But one topic I want to talk about is kind of – it's going to be real quick about how it changed the industry of lab-grown diamonds. And stay tuned. I'm going to tell you some of the stuff. This is amazing, that the way the AI involved or do things to what we do every day, it changed everything. And it's all related to security, too, everything.
Okay. Well, good. Well, I'm looking forward to Sunday. I guess it'll be worth getting up early for. So anyway, well, thanks so much, Wynn. I'll connect with you Sunday morning.
You got it. Thank you.
Okay, great. Okay, we're back now to the topic of real estate, private partnership, assets and investment in multifamily in the syndication arena. And by the way, I throw around the word syndication, as do many that talk about this space, without really thinking, well, gee, it may be someone's first time to hear that term. And it's not anything fancy or otherwise top shelf to where, you know, I think the way this word gets used with some of these mentor groups is they make it sound like, oh, you know, this is the special stuff that, you know, usually you have to pay extra in the membership fees to be involved. And I'm just going to tell you, syndication at base is nothing more than a group of, call it like-minded individuals. In other words, you've learned about multifamily, you're interested in multifamily, you've got money to invest in multifamily, whether it's IRA money or 401k money, or maybe it's just money sitting in a money market, or it's in the stock market, and you've decided now's the time to put those funds into hard assets because you've seen what inflation does. You know, if you just look at what we're dealing with now, I mean, everybody seems to have forgotten that our prices on most goods and services are 20 to 25% higher. They're just excited because we've reduced the increasing inflation rate down to, I don't know, it depends on who you believe and depends on which measure of inflation you look at, but I'm going to say 3% based on last month is the current number, 2.9, 3%, whatever. But I just like to buy a any item, you know, a hamburger, a tube of four, whatever, that was at the same price it was 2 years ago. And if you can find that, well, then maybe in that market, submarket, in that store, get it down to the lowest level, maybe inflation has receded. But I don't see it. And I tell you, it doesn't seem like you can go to a restaurant these days, and I don't care if you're getting the smallest hamburger or whatever you're buying is on the menu, you're looking at $15 to $20. That's insane. And everybody seems to just assume that will never return, and maybe it won't. You know, it's like, how did we get to where we're at on everything else? How did the average cost of a home in Houston or San Antonio get up near the $400,000 range, right? And I guess we could back up in time, and I remember back in the mid-80s, I bought a home out in North Houston that, you know, four-bedroom, two-bath, I don't know that it would qualify as a McMansion. It did to me at the time, but you know, it was $115,000 or $120,000, and that same home today would be over $500,000 likely. That's just, it's crazy. But anyway, bottom line, you know, if you've decided that you like, and think about this now, the average median rents now, and again, average doesn't mean you or me, it might, but just average across the country is in the $1,400 a month range. That's all classes. There's less than or about 7.5% of units that are under $1,000 a month. That's crazy when you think about it, or at least it's crazy if you're my age. You know, maybe if you're one of the newer generation, you're thinking, man, that's a deal. Well, it's not in my world, but in any event, as real estate investors buying multifamily assets, that points out or that illustrates one reason we like this category. Hard assets in the form of an apartment unit keep up with inflation. It benefits from inflation. And who among us can predict when inflation will cause the rental rates to decline? In any event, it won't happen overnight. Typically, the rates seem to come down slower than they go up. But in any event, so you're sitting on the doorstep. You're thinking, hey, I like what I see and hear. When maybe I go to case study night at some of these investor mentor platforms, and just understand that case studies are to sell memberships. none of these platforms, whether it's Self-Made Millionaires platform or the Testosterone Academy, platform, none of them are doing case studies just to, you know, get you interested in multifamily, except to the extent they think your next step might be to purchase one of their $20,000 plus memberships and their higher tier offerings, the ones that they say you need to join to invest in multifamily. And I guess the first thing I would say is that you don't need to pay those types of fees to invest in multifamily. There's other options for getting into partnerships. And in fact, in some cases, you could get into the same partnership that you could as a member. They won't tell you that, and they'll make it sound like, oh, you got to spend the money to get the good stuff. And I'm just telling you, it's not the case. And it is easier if you happen to be an accredited investor, because then you don't have some of the restrictions on what you can invest in under the crowdfunding rules. And by the way, syndication, I should have mentioned, the group of people getting together, that's typically in accordance with the crowdfunding statute that originated back during the President Obama time frame. I believe it goes back that far. The rules have changed a bit, and it's really gotten much easier. But in any event, it's a wonderful opportunity for lay people to invest in the same assets that historically you might have needed to invest in a private equity fund on Wall Street to do so. In any event, there's some other details on that front. If you have questions about what you can invest in, given your own individual net worth issue, you know, let me know. I'm happy to help walk you through those rules. But generally, if you've got more than $1 million in net worth that does not include the equity in your home, well, then you fall into the 506C category, where there's more options for you to invest. But if you want to learn more about these rules, we're starting a seminar series be in San Antonio. The first one, I believe we're targeting the second week in January, pending nailing down our accommodations, but there will be a charge for the tuition. It will also include your lodging at one of my two corporate housing venues, boutique hotel, I guess I should say, and we won't charge you anywhere near $20,000 to give you the essence of what private real estate partnership investing consists of. You know, I'm not going to be teaching you how to go buy your own small apartment building in that first session, but we will be adding that. We'll be adding quite a few topics, tax-wise, real estate-wise, et cetera. And it'll be an alternative for those of you that may not feel compelled to spend nearly as much money to get involved in this space. Let's do this. We're right on top of the second break. Let's go ahead and take our last break, And we'll circle back momentarily back to the fees that you're going to pay, not the membership fees, but the actual fees once you've joined into that top tier membership. And now you've got an opportunity to invest in a specific project. That's when you're going to wake up and realize how much of your money goes away effectively day one into the back pockets of the syndicators for the assorted fees that they collect to put the deal together and then ongoing management. We'll circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee.
Big dreams and faded dreams.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And before we get into these fees, I'm going to give you some statistics here on the debt market as related to multifamily properties. However, looking a bit more globally, I read an article earlier this week that says, quote, the International Monetary Fund says global public debt, primarily driven by the U.S. and China, the U.S. being $36 billion and some change. I don't know what China's is. Probably not as much. The Chinese are not as adept at printing money as we are. They got a lot that's outstanding. But anyway, the International Monetary Fund says global public debt will reach $100 trillion by the end of 2024. That's a lot of money, folks. And it's spread around the world, different countries. But that doesn't include, well, who knows what all it doesn't include, but I can tell you what it doesn't include on the U.S. side is the minimum $100+ trillion that just the U.S. has already committed to unfunded mandates, you know, indexing of, you know, agency budgets, et cetera. I mean, when you look at that, now maybe you'll begin to understand why the need to start working on trimming our U.S. Budgetary deficit. By the way, I saw another article that referenced taking, you hear people like Senator Warren, Elizabeth Warren, from Massachusetts, if I'm not mistaken, talk about that the solution to the deficit is to take money from the wealthy. Oh, she doesn't call it that. She says to have them pay their fair share. She doesn't think of that as taking money. In fact, I heard her just yesterday on a news station say that the billionaires are who got the $2 trillion tax cut money that the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act provided. That was all billionaires. No middle class people got any of that. Well, a lot of my clients did, and they're not billionaires. So, the ignorance in Congress is part and parcel how our debt situation has gotten so horrific. That's part of it. The rest, a good chunk of it's just the arrogance of most politicians and the mindset that, hey, as long as it doesn't affect us here while we're in office, well then, we'll let the next crop of congressmen deal with this. But in any event, it's to think that we couldn't cut $2 trillion a year, as Mr. Musk and Vivek are suggesting, I just don't accept that. I mean, when you see the comments from Congress, it's always whose ox is getting gored, to use an old expression. That's who's going to scream the loudest that, oh, we can't do this. We got to have that money. It's like a opium, it's like a drug to Congress. But anyway, so back to, we were talking about the effect of interest rates, what that does to net operating income, or NOI, on an apartment building. And we mentioned there were two things that cause that go sideways when the interest rate goes up. One is the net operating income goes down to a level that won't cover the debt payments. The second problem is that equity investors, that would be us passive partners, can become even more reliant on the property value instead of the cash flow to generate appreciation for the returns. That's a problem, because that means you may not even get, forget about getting periodic distributions in the interim. You may not get all your money back at the end. And the issue there is that due to the fact that multifamily properties typically trade at lower cap rates, given the perceived safety, the margin of error, that's the perceived safety of the asset quality, the margin of error is low. You don't have much room to go wrong in a rising interest rate environment, and it becomes even more exacerbated when dealing with floating rate debt. And when the interest on the debt climbs, NOI falls, as does the debt service coverage ratio. So both of the issues are affected directly. And unfortunately, the floating rate debt they refer to in this article is rampant. It was everywhere back, 2 years ago, and some since then, before people woke up and realized what was going on. And so the floating rate debt presents a double whammy. I mean, not only are you looking at, as interest rates go up, a prospective buyer or a lender is going to value your property at less, but it also means that as the rates go up on new borrowings that are going on in the arena of real estate, the rate on your loan is clicking up if it's adjustable. And I know, we had 11 rate increases with the Federal Reserve before we saw any rate cuts. at the current, let's see, the average rate of the loans. Okay, there are currently more than 5,800 multifamily loans. That's a total of $96 billion with a debt service coverage ratio below 1.0, meaning they're incapable of covering the debt service payments. Of those loans, 79%, well over the majority, are floating rate debt with an average interest rate currently of 7.8%. Now, some of these loans started off down, I believe, if I think back, in the mid to low 3% range. Big difference in your available cash flow when you effectively double the interest rate. And don't forget, you've got insurance and taxes, other things that have gone up in some cases more than the increase in the interest rate. The estimated cap rate at securitization is in the 5.2 to 5.7 range over recent years, meaning that those with floating rates are likely on a raft to a tall waterfall, meaning it's going to be hard to refinance those, is what it amounts to. And the holders of that debt want to get out of it so they can get into the 7.8% range that exists there. It would be financially possible to buck the trend of multifamily properties were they able to raise their rent sufficiently to provide enough income and drive up valuations. Because again, if you can raise your income, you can get that NOI, either get it back up or at least hold the line. And that would give you the potential to get some more favorable refinancing. But then you look at remember all those new units that I mentioned to come on board. I forget how many hundreds of thousands across the country, but I know just in the Houston market, it was roughly 20 or 21. San Antonio, I think, had 18,000 over the last 14 months or so. And the bottom line is, with the absorption being slower, the asset values are, in a word, lackluster. And a secondary problem is that shelter or lodging or housing, you got to look at the role that it plays in the inflation calculations. And residential rent has been one of the biggest driving factors in growing inflation. Higher levels would likely mean the Fed would increase rates again, which there's some smart people saying that's likely to happen. I believe we refer to Jamie Dimon at times, the chairman and I believe CEO of JP Morgan Chase. And, you know, if the Fed increases interest rates, that would have a major impact on, not good one, on borrowing, which would then demand an even higher NOI to qualify for a loan. But in any event, and of course, this is all against the backdrop of our national debt and national issues that we're dealing with. And again, if you're in the potential market for multifamily syndications, I don't want to discourage it at all. Now's a buying time, as long as you're buying the right assets and have a credible syndicator. But the fees, again, that range, I've seen fees as high as 5 to 6% at the outset, day zero, as I call it, walking out of closing, and that dilutes your capital. If you're putting $100,000 into a deal, those fees will wipe out half of your capital in terms of dollars that are actually going to increase the value of the asset. And I just suggest to you, you don't rush into those transactions. Let's take a look and try to determine the credibility and see if there's not some opportunity to get a clawback on some of the fees, or defer them, more likely, defer them until there's a reason to pay them. But again, if you've got money, it's in IRAs, 401s, you want to move to the Roth option on an IRA or 401 where the income will not be taxed as you get into retirement. And we'll talk more about that in the future as we talk about it on almost every show. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back on Sunday with the cyber version of the Be a Planner show. We hope you can join us, and thank you for listening in today.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.